Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
We're going to continue our series on the book of Acts this morning. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 6, finishing it up, and then finishing up Acts chapter 7 today. We're looking at the Holy Spirit, and we're looking at how he manifests himself in the church, in the early church, and what he does for us as believers, that we need him. We looked at his transforming power. I mean, we've been through all kinds of awesome things so far in the book of Acts. And today I want to start in chapter 6, verse 8. I just want to recap very quickly what we talked about last week and then move into the message for this week. And so verse 8 says, "As Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and from Sicily and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, 'This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses delivered to us.' And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel." Leave your Bibles open, because we're also going to be looking at chapter 7 today. But just to review, Stephen was one of the seven appointed to help the apostles when it came to, they were overwhelmed by the complaints of the Hellenists and the complaints of the Jews, and their widows wouldn't be fed, and the Hellenists weren't getting the food and the resources that the others were. They'd be discriminated against. And so the apostles said, appoint seven men full of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was one of those seven men. And he would go and he would reason with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And he would reason with those who were still devout and had not yet accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, as the Messiah. And they became angry with him because whatever he did, they couldn't refute him. We looked at last week how he was, full of wisdom and full of the Spirit, and how they tried to argue with him, but it did not work. They were not successful because of the wisdom of God and because he was filled with the Spirit. And when they attacked him, he responded not in himself and not in his flesh, but through the power of the Holy Spirit within him. And he was able to speak words, and the Holy Spirit spoke through him and used him. And so they became frustrated, because every time they tried to trick him, every time they tried to argue against him, every time they tried to beat him in discussion about Christ as the Messiah, they lost. They couldn't win. He made them look foolish. He made them look silly. They were frustrated. And so in their frustration, because they were operating in their flesh and they have rejected Christ, and in their frustration, they decide, we can't beat him fairly, so what we're going to do is get people to lie on it. And so they took the words that Stephen spoke and they twisted them to say that Christ was going to destroy the temple and that he was going to change the customs of Moses. And they were taken out of context, Christ's own words, when he said that you will destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'll raise it up. And of course, Jesus was talking about himself, not about the actual temple. But they twisted it, and they twisted the words of Stephen, and they twisted what he had to say. And then they had folks come in and flat out lie and say that he was speaking blasphemies against God. And so at this point, when they bring these accusations and they say these things about him, he's called before the religious leaders. And this is the part that's pretty awesome in verse 15. As it says, "And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel." What in the world does that mean? He was so emboldened, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that he was completely calm, cool, and collected. He radiated authority. He radiated peace in the midst of all of these accusations. Meaning he didn't scour. Now, with me, I show my emotions on my face and in my body language, right? So I can speak sweet things in my mouth, but when my eyes, you know, I'm really angry, you know, my emotions take over, even though what comes out of my mouth don't always match what's on the old face. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to cover up when I get agitated, when I get frustrated, when I get upset. It's hard for me to cover it up. I can't fake it that way. But Stephen, he was so filled with the Spirit that in the midst of all of this stuff that was going on, he remained calm, focused, because his focus was on God, not on the circumstances that he was facing at that moment. He was able to focus on God and focus on what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do because he was filled with the Spirit. And you and I cannot serve God in the purpose that he has for us if we're not filled with the Spirit. We cannot be face these situations and these circumstances and the attacks that Satan has for us to destroy us if we're not filled with the Spirit. We will be overcome. But because of the Spirit in Stephen, he was able to sit amongst his accusers. They were all hostile towards him. He was not amongst his friends. He was able to sit amongst the accusers, amongst the religious leaders, calm, cool, collected. His face radiated like the face of an angel. Peace and strength and confidence, knowing that he was speaking the truth and the faith and the trust that he had in God. And so they say to him, "Is it true, Stephen?" And so rather than Stephen simply giving a yes or a no, he actually gives a message here in chapter 7 to these Jewish people. And he starts with Abraham and he goes all the way through Jesus. He touches on all the highlights. He talks about Abraham. He talks about the patriarchs. He talks about Joseph and enslavement in Egypt. He talks about Moses being sent. And he works his way through to Jesus Christ. See, the one thing that I want to point out here in chapter 7, if you look with me now to, I believe it is verse 25, he's talking about Moses. And he's making a point here. Once he gets past Abraham, once he gets to Moses, he's making a point that he's going to touch back to when he's concluding what he has to say to them. And so these two men, he's telling about how Moses comes in as an adult, and he sees two Jews fighting, right? He goes to them and he corrects them and says, "You two are brothers, stop fighting amongst each other." And the one Jew who was the aggressor, the one who was doing the oppressing, he said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" That doesn't seem that big and important, right? But Stephen is going to make a correlation now here where he says, this Moses, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you ruler and a judge?" is the one God sent to be ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. So he's saying, you Israel, who rejected Moses and said, "Who are you to, you know, what do you think you're doing? You're nobody to us." God actually chose him to be the exact thing that they said he could not be.
Right.
Because God had a plan and a purpose that was above them. What he's doing here, Stephen, is he's pointing out to these religious leaders and these people who were of the Jewish faith, knew the Jewish Torah, they knew the Jewish history. He's telling them, look, you rejected Moses. And then he said, even though Moses was sent by God to deliver you, he was chosen by God, yet you rejected him. And then he goes on again to talk about Israel rebelling against Moses in verse 37. Begin with verse 37. He talks about how Israel, Moses brought them the law. And Israel rebelled against God and had Aaron build a calf. Right? So then again, they're rejecting Moses. They're rejecting God. No, they're saying, God, we are waiting on you. And so we're going to build a calf to worship, because obviously you've killed Moses up there and we're tired of waiting, right? And so they built a golden calf, once again showing their rejection of the man that God had chosen and showing their rejection of God. And he's doing this because he wants to show them that just like they've rejected Moses, they've also rejected the Messiah. Because Moses actually prophesied and said God was going to raise up someone greater than him. That someone being Jesus Christ. And Stephen references that also in chapter 7. And so, one greater than Moses came, and they rejected him too. And so Stephen is going through this message, and it's because of the Holy Spirit inside of him and God's wisdom inside of him that he's able to present this in such a way that there's nothing the people can say. And I can see him as he's speaking and he's getting, relaying this word, and I'm sure the scowls on the people's faces as they're listening, because they think that they're the ones that are the educated, they're the ones that have all the source of knowledge, right? If these are the religious elite, and they're scowling at him, but he's remaining calm, and he keeps preaching. Their frustration is beginning to build. But as their frustration is beginning to build, Stephen finally gets to the point. And without a second thought, he goes into verse 51 and he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." He points out to them that they were given everything they needed to see Christ as Savior. They had the prophets that continually foretold of what was coming. They had the prophets also who tried to correct their past, that God tried to use to direct them, but they continued to reject the prophets, kill the prophets, right? And then when Christ comes, they reject and they kill him. These were the students of the law. These were the students of what God had given to Moses. These are the students who knew the history of Israel, yet they still missed the Messiah. And so you and I must be careful that we hear the message over and over again. Our parents tell us. We tell our children. We pass it on. We pass it on. We pass it on. We hear the message, but we reject the message. When you continually hear the message of Christ and the gospel and the forgiveness of sins and the free gift of salvation, and you continue to reject it, you are rejecting God. Wow. Even though he's given you everything you need to accept it. Mm-hmm. He's provided preachers. He's provided people who have constantly declared who God is and that there's this free gift of salvation. Yet man still rejects him. Even though they have been given every opportunity to receive him, man still rejects him. And we don't want to be in that position where we've heard the message over and over again, yet we continue to reject him. We continue to spit in his face. We continue to dishonor him because our rejection of him. And Israel, they were resisting the Holy Spirit and God. Their beef wasn't with Stephen. Their beef was with God. They manifested it towards Stephen because he was there in the physical and they could get him. But the real true source of their frustration was against God. Because it was being pointed out to them that they had killed the Messiah whom they had been waiting for. They betrayed him and they murdered him. And instead of like on the day of Pentecost where they were cut to the heart and they repented, something different happens here. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. They were furious. So you see, that's what the Holy Spirit, and that's what God does, is he elicits a reaction. You have to respond. Mm-hmm. And the day of Pentecost, they were cut to the heart. They were suddenly filled with remorse and guilt and said, what do we need to do? And Peter said, repent. The exact same phrase is used, cut to the heart. Sudden, unexpected, and suddenly they said, what do we need to do? And God, and Peter said, repent, you'll be forgiven, and be baptized. And so that's what they did, and 3,000 were added to the church. But here at the message of Stephen, which is an expanded version of what Peter talked about David on the day of Pentecost and Christ, and Stephen went all the way from Abraham through, instead of them responding with remorse, they responded with anger. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. That is just a guttural, you know, anger, like a demonic anger, where the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God's truth, the response is to curse at it, to scream at it, to be angry at it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like they gnash with their teeth. You know, Jesus said that in hell there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That means that's a stressful, just burning, guttural response to what's going on around you. Gnashing of teeth. They were anger to the point that they hated Stephen. Their response was not remorse for killing the Messiah. Their response was hatred and veritas to the one who was bringing them the message that they had killed the Messiah. And so they were mad and they were angry, and their response was, who are you to tell us that we were wrong? We live in a world today that says, who are you to tell us we are wrong?
Amen. That's
right. Who are you to tell us that what we're doing is against what God has for
right.
said?
Yeah.
Who are you to tell us that our choices don't line up with what God has to say? Who are you? And that's what they said to Stephen. Who are you? And look, we have a society where there's gnashing of teeth.
Right.
Anger, bitterness. Just this veritas pointed to anyone who points to Christ.
Right.
It is this guttural, demonic response. The fleshly, evil response to the truth of God's word.
Right.
And the light of God in a world that is shrouded in darkness. And so it elicits a response. And the response from them was that gnashing of teeth. How dare you? How dare you? And notice that while Stephen speaks the truth, they're responding to him. He doesn't yell back at them. He doesn't tell them he hates them. He doesn't do any of these things as they're gnashing their teeth at him, as they're screaming at him, as they're cursing at him. He's got peace, the face of an angel. Peace. And he's speaking. And even though he's just flat out told them, hey, you guys are stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart, you're uncircumcised of ears, and you resist the Holy Spirit, even though when they become angry and yell at him, he's still calm, cool, and collected. In fact, if you look, there are no exclamation points. His statements were not, he wasn't yelling, even though he was laying the true smack down, right? He wasn't screaming at them, he wasn't yelling at them. He was simply saying, you stiff-necked people. In fact, I almost wonder if it wasn't out of mercy. Like, oh my goodness, how could it be? You stiff-necked people, you uncircumcised of heart and of mouth, you are resisting the Holy Spirit. One of compassion instead of hate and anger and bitterness. Do you know what I'm saying? Almost a point of sympathy. I feel so sorry for you. Because not only did you reject the Messiah, you rejected all the prophets, you rejected everyone, your fathers killed them all, abused them, rejected them, and they did the same thing now to Christ the Messiah. I feel so sorry for you because you had all the signs.
Right.
You had all the opportunities. You continue to have the opportunity and you continue to reject him. Maybe that's one of the reasons that got so angry, is because he had a tone of pity to his voice, right? I'm so sorry that you feel that way, right? When you think like you're not doing anything wrong and someone tells you, you know, I'm so sorry that you can't see the truth, we get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even if you are showing genuine mercy and genuine, you know, selflessness, people get mad because they don't like to be told what they're doing is wrong.
Amen, that's right.
So even when you share in love, they still become angry and they gnash at you with their teeth. When they heard these things, they gnashed at it. But he, meaning Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Miss Tanya read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and a fiery furnace this morning. And how there was a fourth man in the fire with them. The one who was looked like the Son of God. Jesus is walking around in there with them. And they weren't harmed. Right? They came out of the fire. Their bonds burned off. They didn't smell like smoke. They didn't have hair singed on their head. Perfectly healthy. But here's Stephen in a very similar situation. He's in the midst of a burning, angry crowd. And even though he doesn't walk out unscathed, God is still there. Mm-hmm. Right? Jesus is still in the midst of the furnace.
Amen.
Right? So even though he's not going to escape like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus Christ is still there. That lets us know that, look, even though things don't turn out the way we want them to turn out, and even though we still might suffer sickness and pain and hurt, and we lose people to sickness and pain and hurt, God is still there.
Amen.
Right? Jesus is still there. And I can just see him. He's looking up, and he knows. Stephen knows. The writing's on the wall. He knows what's coming. Right? He knows. He knows what the reaction of the people is. At a minimum, he's going to get beat. At a minimum, they're angry, they're cursing, they're hollering at him, they're gnashing their teeth at him. He knows what's coming. He looks up, and Jesus is just looking down at him, probably with a smile. With me, I'd imagine it was a thumbs up. Good job, kid. Right? Just a reassuring. What's about to happen is going to be bad, but soon you're going to be standing up here next to him.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Right? When you take your last breath, you're going to be right here with me. Good job, son. He's given him that one last moment of reassurance. Lord. I mean, God opened up heaven so Stephen could see Jesus looking down at him approvingly. I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And so when he looks up, he says, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This pushes them over the edge. So they all cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord. Now look, try to get this picture. These guys, they're acting like animals and children. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had your kids get frustrated or seen a kid in a YouTube video or something? I'm sure all your kids are perfect. They've never done this. But when you're fussing at them, put their fingers in their ears. Stop talking. They get angry at what you're having to say, and they're throwing a temper tantrum, and so they stick their fingers in their ears, or they start going, nah, 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 right? They're like children. They're like little children that don't like what they're hearing. So they put their hands over their ears, and they start screaming at him so they can't hear what he has to say and what he's going to say next. And so they scream, they cover their ears, and they grab him like children. This ruckus crowd has completely lost all sense of civility. I mean, they have completely lost their minds at what he has to say. They cannot stand it, so they're going to destroy him. Rather than listen to him say another word, they're going to cover their ears, they're going to scream, charge him, and they're going to exact justice right at this moment. Now, that is what's happening today in our world. People are acting like children. There's no debate. There's no discussion. There's no conversation. It's nothing but ignorance and hate and yelling and screaming. That's what it's about because we don't want to hear the truth. When we get angry, they're getting angry and frustrated. And they're acting like kids. We don't want to hear it. Nah, 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 nah. And they're taking a step further as they're attacking the children of God, trying to destroy their lives on purpose. Simply because they live God's truth. Destroy people's livelihoods. Take it away. Gnashing with their teeth, screaming and hollering to destroy people who disagree with them. And that's exactly what's happened here. Anger and bitterness over what's being said to the point that they lost all self-control. He wasn't even found guilty before they grabbed him up, pulled him out of the city, and stoned him to death. See, this wasn't justice. This was the beginning of an injustice being committed against the children of God. He wasn't found guilty. He didn't receive a fair trial. They drug him out like a mob. They put him in the streets, and they stoned him to death. No questions asked. And as they're stoning him to death, guess what? Stephen still has the face of an angel. Because even with his last breath, what does he say? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was still in his right mind. Even though he was hurting and he was in pain, he was still in his right mind. And we know that he had love for them because he said, don't hold it against them, God. That lets me know that when he was talking in verse 51, calling them stiff-necked, he was doing it in love. And he was doing it out of a heart of mercy and a heart of grace. He wasn't screaming and yelling and accusing and pointing fingers. He was doing it out of love. This is what the truth says. Because when they were stoning him, he said, God, have mercy on them. Don't hold it against them. He really loved them. He really cared about them. And it probably broke his heart that they were rejecting Christ and continued, even though they had all the evidence they needed. So as he kneels there, he says, God, have mercy on them. It points out specifically that they laid their clothes at the feet of a dude named Saul. Now, when I was a kid, I saw that and didn't really think. I knew who Saul was going to come at me and you know, what he was going to end up doing and everything. But they made it almost sound like that was a byproduct, right? That Saul was just kind of passing through. He stopped to watch the festivities, and then they gave him their cloaks to stone him. But because of his proximity and where he was at, and the fact that they brought their cloaks to him, probably means that Saul was heavily involved in what was going on. He probably was right there during the testimony. He was probably right there gnashing his teeth. He was right there being condescending, and he was right there complicit in his murder. So we get our first glimpse of Saul, and he's already started persecuting the church. And he becomes even more zealous in going after the church. But he and those people were not rejecting man. They were rejecting God and the Holy Spirit. They were resisting him. But even though they had the truth, they still wouldn't respond and accept Christ.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a loss for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.